Good morning. It is good to see everybody. And I wish I could say open up to this passage and that's where we're going to stay, but that's not what we're going to do this morning. So just warm up your fingers if you want to follow along. We're going to go to several different passages of Scripture. If not, just grab a pencil if you want to write it down. I always challenge you, anytime anyone's speaking and sharing some things out of God's Word, write them down. Write the things down and go home and read it and study it for yourself. Because who knows, maybe, possibly, there might be a chance that at some point in some time in your life, someone's going to make a mistake in what they're saying. So don't just believe it. Look at it. Right, Wayne? That's what we're supposed to do. Look at God's Word and understand it. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever been blind in your life. I don't know exactly what that would be like. I was, as they label you, technically or legally blind. At one time in my life, I was there, 2300 or 2400 vision. Meaning that if you were standing right here at the communion table, I wouldn't have a clue who you were. I could tell that there was somebody or something that looked like a person standing there, but I had no idea who you were. I could see things, I could see colors, if I got close enough, I could get there. But I've never been blind, where I couldn't see anything. And I don't know what it would be like to go through life where you could not see anything. Because as a human, we use our sense of sight is probably the number one sense that we use to understand everything that is around us. Now we use our sense of smell. We use a sense of touch and hearing, taste, and those things, but not like we use our sight. Even when you walk into a room and you smell something and you go, man, I know that smell, but what is it? What do you do? A lot of times you'll close your eyes and start going through the Rolodex of your mind of all of those pictures to try to bring up, what is it that I'm smelling? Or if you hear something and you're not sure exactly, maybe if you hear a voice and you go, whose voice is that? Have you ever done that? Heard someone talking and you can't see them and you're trying to figure out, I've heard that voice but I'm not sure who it is. Or maybe you're on the phone and you go, I know this voice but I don't know who they are. And a lot of times you close your eyes and you're trying to picture, who is it? Who does this voice go with? We do that. We've taken nearly an infinite number of pictures in our mind during our life, and we associate those pictures with whatever it is that we're remembering. So what happens when you go blind? When you can't see something, what happens to you? Or if you were born blind, what would it be like? I don't know. I haven't really been there, so I can't tell you for sure exactly what it would be. But when you start thinking about blindness and you start thinking about spiritually being blind, what does it look like? You know, there's some issues, there's some problems for the people in this world and even some Christians about blindness. When we are blinded spiritually, what happens to us? And the first thing that happens is we have an inability to see God. Who is God? And maybe you are even in your life right now struggling, as all of us at some point do, who is God? And we try to maybe close our eyes and start trying to go through once again all these pictures that we have, and we're trying to decide, who is this God? Who is God? What are my perceptions of Him? And you know, different people who don't really know God, and those who do know God, we struggle with trying to create some kind of picture about what He looks like. Who is He? And we want to paint a picture of Him. And sometimes we can't do it. Actually, we'll never be able to do it. And you think about it, I want you to stop. I don't remember if it was yesterday, the day before. Days get with me. Maybe they do with you too, but the movie, one of the Avengers movies, was on. Now, they're very entertaining movies. If you like the Avengers and you like all of those superheroes and all of that, but the problem with those movies is, and as Christians, we see it very clearly, we are making gods out of these characters and we want to make them who we want them to be. And as you're watching it, the problem with all of those gods, even Thor or Zeus, it doesn't matter who you want to point out, but you look at them and guess what? Every one of the movies, everything that we've ever done and created these gods, there's always, we put humanity in them, some one way or another. Whether it's Thor bleeding because he got beat up by someone else. A god can't get beat up, can they? And we put on them the best that we can understand of ourselves, and we want them to be just a little bit bigger than us. And the problem is, we try to do that with God. And so God said a long time ago when He gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, do you remember one? And He said, whatever you do, do not make any graven image. Do not make an image of me. Why? Because you're going to fail every time. Because you only have a certain amount of intelligence and a certain amount of ability to understand anything, and you can't even begin to comprehend who I am. And that's something we struggle with even to this day. We can't make a picture of God. Why do we try? Let's let God tell us who He is. And so, when we're blinded, we can't see God, and we want to use our senses to understand Him, we're going to fail every time. But the second problem, and just stay with me, hopefully I will clear this up for you in just a few minutes of what I'm trying to get across. But the second problem that we have of not being able to see God is our inability to see man as well. Because we were created in God's image. And if we can't see God clearly, how can we possibly begin to see ourselves? And so we have a problem. And the physical manifestation of who we are, of man, or our perceptions of him, can lead us in a direction that maybe isn't exactly correct. How can we possibly see ourselves correctly if we can't see God?
Why does a man at the age of 40 or 50 or something all of a sudden decide he wants an earring or he wants a tattoo or he wants to go buy a new Harley? Now, is there anything wrong? Is someone going to go to hell because they're going to get gotten an earring? No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? So don't hear that. But why is it that I've never had anything to do with any of those things, and all of a sudden I want to run out and get something? I want to buy this motorcycle. I want to get this. I want to get that. I want to do something. And I think the problem is we have an inability to see who we are. And we think back when we were 20 years old and we go, man, now that's who I want to be. And I want to reach back and grab something so that I can understand who I am. And we struggle with seeing who we are, and we really can't see who we are.
Because we're looking at ourselves only physically and not who we really and truly are. There's our problem. We're blind. How do we see? We're blind. Well, what is the cure? Well, obviously God is the cure. But in Mark chapter 8,
and I love this passage in 23, 4 and 5, the Lord is, they bring this blind man to God, to the Lord. And he's saying, please just touch me. I want to see. And so we go back, and here is this man, and he can't see anything, and he's saying, Lord, just touch me. That's all I want. Just touch me. And so it says that Jesus spit on his eyes, touched him, and then he let go, and he's asked him a question. What do you see? Can you see clearly? And what did he respond? Well, I see men, but they look like trees walking around. And so, he can't really see. He can see something, but he can't really see. Now, a long time ago in my life, when I read that passage, I'm thinking his eyes were kind of like mine without my glasses. I'm looking out there, and it's just a little fuzzy. It's a little unclear. I don't think that's what's really going on. I believe what's happened is God, the Lord touched him, and he can see things, but for the very first time, he can see, you know what? Those are different colors. What is that? There's texture. There's all of this stuff, and his mind cannot wrap itself around what he's seeing. Because he is an adult, he is a grown man, and his entire life he's never been able to see anything. So what reference point does he have to understand what he's seeing? And his brain isn't working just exactly right. And Jesus touches him again, and now he's able to see clearly. Now he's able to understand what he's seeing in the context of his life. Now he understands. Now he's able to see what life really is. You ever had one of those aha moments? I understand it. I get it. It's amazing, those of you who have ever taught, when you're teaching someone something and you see the light come on and it's like, I get it. And you almost the joy in there on their face of they finally got what it is you're trying to explain to them. And maybe you've done it yourself and you think back and you go, man, I was kind of dumb. I didn't understand. And now I get it. Now I understand it. I've done that in my life. I'll listen to someone teaching or talking and I'll go, no, wait a minute. What did he just say? And I'm going to flip back over and I'm going to read that passage and go, I never saw that before. I don't care how many times I read it, I never saw what was just said to me. And now I go back and I look at it and go, wow, that's pretty good. So I think what he's saying is, I don't understand what I'm seeing. And how many times in our life do we say that? If maybe not out loud, but at least to ourselves, when you're smiling, they go, you understand this? You go, yeah, I got it. And in reality, you're saying, I don't have a clue what he's saying. Probably some of you are doing that right now. I don't have a clue what he's saying. What's he talking about?
Who is God? And who are we? And so when we ask that question and he says, do you see? We can either go, or we can say, God, I don't fully comprehend what it is exactly you're trying to get me to understand. And so we pray about Him, we think about Him. There's a lot of ways that God helps us as we grow and as we mature to understand things. When I think about Paul in Acts chapter 26, he is standing before King Agrippa and he's talking to him about his former life. And he says, I thought to myself, in verse 9 of 26, I thought to myself, I had to do many things. I thought to myself, I had to do many things hostile to the name Jesus of Nazareth. Now understand in the context, this is after his blinding experience in Acts chapter 9 where the Lord stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so the Lord blinded Saul physically to open his eyes spiritually to understand what he was doing. He thought he could see everything perfectly clear, but God said, no, you can't. You don't see anything. You need to lose your vision in order to see. And sometimes we need to lose our vision, our perceptions that we've grown up with, in order to understand and to see what God is trying to get us to see.
In 2 Corinthians, open up to 2 Corinthians. This is an important passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Look with me. Now, Paul is talking, and he starts out in this chapter, and he's talking about his ministry. He's talking about what he's been doing, what he's about, why he is even doing what he's doing. And then you skip down a ways to verse 16. And he says, "We do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary or light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Now look at verse 18, really important. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal."
When you look in the mirror at yourself and you see the physical appearance, is that who you really are? And what Paul is saying in his life, he understood not only the physical outside, the things, the perceptions, our senses, and our understandings from all of those things, from hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, feeling, all of that stuff. He said, "Now that's where I was. I believed all of those things. I had given my life to that, to understanding all of those things." But he said, "You know what? One thing I realized is as you get older, things don't work the same as they used to. They just don't. You're not as fast. You can't jump as high. You can't rebound from things as quickly as you once did. And you can't do it." And so if everything that you are is tied up in just those things that you've experienced, well, we can't see very clearly, can we? Paul says, although the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed every day. If what? If these things, if we realize that the things that we see are only temporary, they're going to go away. This world is going to end. This place, your body is going to come to nothing. At some point, physically speaking, they're going to lay that shell either in the ground or however you've determined that that's going to happen when you leave this place. But physically speaking, you're not going to be here forever. No one is. And if that's all we have to look forward to, then we should be pitied, he says other times, above all men. But it's not the end. He said, because that's not who we really are. And what we need to focus on is the inward man. The things that are not seen, those are eternal. Even Moses, the Hebrew writer, will write in chapter 11, in verse 24 through 27, talking about Moses. And he says, Moses refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing ill treatment, either with or from, depending upon what you're reading, God's people rather tend to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now wait a minute. Moses looked at the Messiah as being greater riches than all in this world. But Christ didn't even come yet. But he knew the promise.
He knew God was, and he watched God, and he allowed God to unveil some things to him and to see things that he couldn't see physically speaking.
That's why he's known as a man of great faith. Because he could see the invisible. He could see the unseeable. And he was following up.
That's what faith is all about. God is our cure for blindness. Someone said, and
maybe lots of people have said it, but the most important passage of Scripture in all the Bible, one man said, is Genesis 1:1.
We don't need anything else sometimes.
We don't need that. That's it. In the beginning, what? In the beginning, God created.
In the beginning, when time started, when everything that you see, hear, touch, taste, feel, all of that, when all of that came into being, God is the one who put it here. God is the one who gave you all the senses that you have. God is the one who gave us everything in this world that we enjoy. God did that.
And in Exodus chapter 3, when God is calling Moses from the burning bush, and Moses is looking at that bush, and he's going,
that's not normal. It's on fire, but nothing's happening to it. That bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with what I'm seeing? And God says, Moses, take off your shoes, because where you are is holy ground.
I need to talk to you, Moses. There are some things I need to share with you because you can't
see very clearly. And I need to open your eyes. You need to see because right now you're blind.
But wait a minute. I'm trying to follow. I want to do what's right.
Great. Your heart's right. Now let me open your eyes. Now let me help you see what I've been trying to get you to see your whole life. What I've been readying you to understand. Let me help you get what I've
been leading you to. Who am I going to talk? Who is this? Who are you? And God says in this word,
I don't understand Hebrew. I can't speak it, but I've looked it up and I've read what the other people have written on it. And it's a combination of Yahweh, God's personal name, and
Hayah, Hayeh, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but it's basically a word that says,
it is. It just exists. It is. And so you take Yahweh, and you take this word, and you put them together, and He says, I am. I am who I am. The God who has always existed, who has always been here, who will always be here, that everything around you finds its meaning and its definition and its existence in everything, I am who I am.
How deep is that word? How deep is that phrase? The older you get, the more and the more and the more you'll see and you'll understand when you're trying to listen and allow God to reveal Himself to you. God is the cure for blindness. He always has been. We've got to learn to see the unseeable. God has revealed Himself to us so many ways. And we need to start looking. We need to start listening. Because when we do, when we realize that our sight is not always true,
our hearing is not always true, and I've made mistakes all the time, about thinking I know what I hear when in reality it's not what I hear at all. You ever heard something that woke you up and you're listening to it and you go, yeah, I think I know what that is. And you go in and go, no. I jumped up one day in the middle of the night years ago because I heard someone kicking in my back door. That's what I heard. How long does it take you to jump up and grab a gun and walk around the corner because you know someone's in your house going to hurt you? How long does it take you to do that? Well, it took me about 1.5 seconds. And I walked in waiting. I did not want to do it. I was scared to death. But I'm walking through there going, I'm not letting anyone near my babies. They're right in the room beside me. I ain't going to let that happen. There's no way I'm going to do that without putting up a fight. And I walked in there, and guess what it was? Guess that door. I'm waiting on glass and everything to be shattered all over. It was a pager that was on top of me. Y'all remember what pagers are? It was vibrating across the microwave, and it fell off and hit the counter. Bang! Off onto the tile floor. Bang! All over the place. Well, in the middle of the night, I just know what it was. Someone's in the house, and they're coming to get me. They're coming to take my babies and everything else. I knew what it was. And then I got in there thinking, boy, you are a goofball. Why do you jump to conclusions like that? Because I just absolutely knew this is what it was. And sometimes we think that way in our life. We think we know. We think we understand. God says, you don't understand, Moses. You don't understand Abraham. You don't understand David. You don't understand Saul.
Let me clear your vision up for you. And sometimes he says,
Arboga, you don't understand. I don't care how much you know.
You don't understand.
And so I have to be quiet and have to close my eyes
and be still and let God talk to me in His Word and say, let me help you understand. You want to understand your life, you want to understand this world, then you've got to know me. How often are you seeking in your life to know God? When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you do? When you go to bed at night, what's the last thing that you do?
When you're living your life in the daytime and there's questions come up and you're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be in this life? What am I supposed to be doing?
What helps you understand? How much time do you spend trying to see God for who He is, not who you want Him to be? It changes. It changes us. When we start looking, our perspective, our vision clears up. Just like Jesus asking that blind man, what do you see?
He said, well, I see people, but they really look like trees. What do we see? When someone says, who is God? And you try to describe God, how do you describe Him? When somebody says, who are you? How do you describe who you are? Do you describe who you are by what you do?
Or who you really are? Clear vision. Paul writes in Colossians 1:15 that He, Jesus, is the exact image of the invisible God. When we look at Jesus Christ, we realize, and that's why Paul in that passage in Colossians chapter 1 says everything that's been created was created by Christ. Jesus is the one. He is God. He is the exact image. He's not a reflection of Him. He is the exact image of God. He created everything that exists. He is the I am who I am. Jesus is everything that we understand God to be, so is Christ. And so it changes us. And His disciples, in Mark, I love the Gospel of Mark. And you want to study with someone, and you want to convert someone and help them understand, read the book of Mark with them. Just read it. And over, you're going to hear a phrase in the book of Mark, who is this? And in Mark chapter 4, they're in the boat going across the sea, and the storm comes up, and in verse 41 and following, His disciples are going, they look over, and Jesus is sound asleep. Now how can you be sound asleep in this little boat that's rocking back and forth, waves are coming over? How are you sleeping? Jesus, don't you even care that we're perishing? And He stood up and immediately rebuked the winds, and they stopped, and the sea is perfectly calm. And here are the disciples that are with Him 24 hours a day. And what is the question that they ask? Who is this man who even the wind and the sea obey His voice? He's the one who created. He's the one who said, let there be water, and there was water. He's the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one who said, let these people be created in My image, and we were created. That's who He is. How well do you see Him right now? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right after the passage we were just looking at, in verse 7, he says, be of good cheer. Always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Know this morning. God has always wanted a relationship with His people. The ones He's created.
He's not a horrible monster. But He's a Father who loves us and gave Himself for us so that one day we would fully realize who we are and be welcomed home. The world needs to hear that.
Because a lot of times the world has got this picture in their mind that, you know, it's just not...
There are gods that come up and gods that go away, and there are a lot of Thors and all these out there, and they don't understand who God is. And the only picture that they get of God is through movies and through books that they're reading. And they don't understand
who God really is. They need this.
God's a monster. All He does is punish people that He doesn't like. And arbitrarily, He picks these 144,000 people. And in the existence of mankind, that's all the people that are ever going to get to go to heaven. And you hear all kinds of crazy ideas about who God are that are nowhere are they revealed in God's will and in His Word. Nowhere are they in His Word.
Who is the God that you see? Even Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the end of it, says, dust will return to the earth as it was. And he said, physical, our bodies are going to go back where they came from. But the spirit will return to God who gave it. Physical is temporary. Our soul is eternal. One last verse and we'll close this morning. When we are able to see clearly,
and the greatest picture of this physically was speaking, and I've shared this with you before, when I had surgery done to my eyes. And for the very first time, in the middle of the night, I think it was on the second night after surgery, I looked over at my alarm clock on the side of the bed, and those big red numbers that are like an inch tall, and I couldn't even see them without leaning over and squinting as hard as I could to see what it was, or getting my glasses, just that few feet away, I couldn't see it. And I opened my eyes and I could see it. And I went, I can see the clock! And I look at that and I think, man, if that happens physically, what about when we start seeing spiritually? How much is it going to change who we are and how we live this life?
The world is blind. I can tell you that right now. And I hope and pray that you're not listening to the world
to tell you what God looks like.
Or what you look like. God will reveal Himself to us. He does all the time. And I know it's not easy to overcome the natural, what is natural to us. Those things that we've experienced in our life. All the senses. You know, we can't understand. If we can't see it, we really can't understand it.
God said, I'm not going to just show you myself because you can't understand because you're limited physically. So I'm not going to have just this physical picture for you. I don't want that. You can't comprehend everything that I am. But know this, I am who I am. I am the one who created life. I am the one who sustains life. I am the one who loves you and takes care of you. I am the one who will never go to sleep when you're in the darkest, deepest times in your life. I'll always be beside you. I'll always take care of you. I will always have your home ready for you. And when you leave this place, don't be scared. Don't be so just so fearful that you have no clue, because I'll be there to welcome you. You're not going to go alone. God loves us.
And He created us to know Him. Colossians 1, 13, 14. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son, of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God wants us to understand this world is not our home.
God wants us to understand He has always wanted a relationship with us. He wants us to see who He is. That He is the one who has forgiven us of everything if we want it. And we have to ask for it. He's already offered it. Do you want it? Do you want that relationship with Him? Then you need to have the right vision of who He is. God loves. And He wants that relationship. Whether you have it or not, it's your choice. But He wants you to have it. Will you accept it? Maybe there's someone in your life that you know that's struggling. What else do we have to give this? To this relationship. This is what we have to give them. A clear vision of who God is. A clear vision of who they are. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Him. If you're not a child of God, you don't have it. Because only in Jesus Christ, only in His beloved Son, will we receive that blessing. And if you have not been put into Christ, you can do that this morning. We're immersed into Him. That's what He teaches us. But that's after we put that old self to death and say, I don't want to be a part of that world. I don't want to have that vision anymore. I want that vision gone, and I want to be able to see through the eyes of God. I want to be able to see through your eyes. That's what it is, putting that old man to death, being raised to new life, to be able to see through the eyes of God. That's what it's all about. Do you have that relationship? You can this morning. If you've wandered away, you can come back. Maybe there's just something going on in your life you want us to pray with you. We would love to do that because as children of God, we have that blessing. We know because He's promised us. He hears everything we say. So if there's any need for you this morning that you want to make known publicly, we'd ask